Hi, this is Harold Carmichael, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show. God bless you.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show. I am Rob Motti with my beautiful wife, Remy. Great to be with you on 97.5 The Fanatic Philadelphia, 97.9 ESPN Radio Tallahassee, and 107.5 Alive. Our guest this week is going to be Pro Football Hall of Fame running back LaDainian Tomlinson, who was on the show over a year ago when we talked about his role playing a pastor. Remember the movie, God Bless the Broken Road?
Yes.
It was a great movie. That was actually awesome. A movie you could watch with the kids, and it was really cool.
Great.
It was a little sad a little bit, but it was a really great movie, God Bless the Broken Road. I highly recommend that one. I had a more in-depth conversation with LaDainian about a variety of topics, and we're going to share that with you coming up. But you're going to hear LT talk about the spirit and the spirit person and a relationship with the Lord. And that's something that we have often discussed on this show, that it's not about a religion. It's about that relationship. And
it's
something that I wanted to talk about now that we are on new affiliates, new stations. I'd love to have this conversation for our new listeners. And when I say this, some people might be a little surprised by it, but I was a religious person. I was a very religious person until I started following Jesus. And I say that and people go, huh? What do you mean? So let me explain. As a religious person, a very religious person who went to church on Sunday and put the envelope in the offering, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Sometimes as a kid, you'd leave right after that. But I followed all the rules. I followed the traditions and rituals and recited the same prayers over and over again, but never really had like a heart-to-heart, heartfelt conversation with God. So ultimately, my religion left me broken and unfulfilled and searching and yearning for more. But Jesus filled that void, and seeking a relationship with Christ is what brought me peace and joy that religion never did and never could. So for me, following a religion versus having that relationship, it's an entirely different concept, because religion, and you'll hear LT talk about how people will go through the practice of it. You go Wednesday, maybe you do this on Wednesday, maybe you do this a different day, and then you go Sunday, and it's the same thing. But until you develop a relationship with the Lord and open your eyes to beyond doing this, that, and whatever else you're supposed to do or you think that you're supposed to do, it becomes completely different. It becomes personal. Religion tells us, do this, don't do that. Follow this, don't follow that. But Christianity, what the Bible tells us and what getting to know the Lord through the Bible is, one, we'll never be able to do enough. We're never going to be good enough, but our salvation doesn't come from what we do.
Yeah.
Our salvation comes from grace and from trusting in the one who did it all for us. See, he did it for us, so we don't have to, because he did it. He took the cross for us. So for me, the relationship is far more intimate than the religion, and in inviting Christ into our hearts and into every aspect of our lives, that's what's going to lead to change, and that's what's more far lasting, far more fulfilling than just simply following a religion and the rules.
Right. And I'm going to simplify it, because I'm like a simple person. I'm also practical, but I'm one of those people that you throw information at me, I just want to simplify it as much as possible. To me, to go to heaven, you do not have to have a relationship, technically. You just have to have the salvation, correct? Mm-hmm. So, but it's kind of like when you decide to get married. Mm-hmm. Your marriage certificate, you're married. Like, there's no one on this earth that can possibly say to you, you're not married. You're married because you have a marriage certificate. But what's going to make the marriage work or easier or make it more satisfying is the relationship. So you can't tell me, oh, I'm a Christian, but I'm not going to have a relationship because it's just that part isn't for me. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be satisfying for you. You're going to get to heaven, but it's just not going to be satisfied. Life on earth is not going to be satisfying. Life Great on point. Earth is yeah. not going to be the way it's Peaceful. Intended for it to be. Yeah. You're supposed to get married and live together and figure out life together. Because if I'm married to you mm-hmm. and be like, listen, you're going to live in the guest room. I'm going to live in that room. And I'm going to see you in the morning, say good morning. And then maybe see you at night, say good night. And let's just do that. What is that going to lead to?
Yeah.
Separation in the end. And that's what's going to lead for a Christian to live without a relationship, separation. And once you get that separation, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. You're going to do life alone. And the way Jesus wants us to live is to live in a relationship without separation. He came here to take away that separation and to help us get fulfillment here on earth, to satisfy that satisfy that void. There's always a void. Every single day, I challenge anyone out there, if you wake up with no void in your heart, like, there must be a void. There's something you're searching for, right? We are all searching for something. And he's the answer for that something. And to get that, you must live in a relationship. And how do you do that? Because I'm practical. How do you have that fulfillment? How do you have that relationship? It's by the one-on-one, sitting, praying, listening. How do you listen in prayer? Actually, it's funny because
I'm impatient.
Yeah, oh, I am too. Because in prayer, we go with our request list and say, 1, 2, 3, give me what you got. I want this. But you don't give room for him to answer, and you don't give room for him to speak, and you don't give room for him to do what he needs to do. So in prayer, there is a part of prayer that we as Christians misunderstand and misuse a lot, which is the meditation part. We have to pray and actually shut up after that. You got to sit down and listen.
Turn off life?
Yeah, turn off life. I mean, it's hard.
That is hard to do.
Turn off life. Just sit
there. I don't do a good job with that.
No, it's very hard. This is the hardest part of the prayer life. And also you have to listen to worship music and meditate on the worship music. So what does that do is that God usually speaks through worship music and speaks through the things that you're listening to and through prayers and through speaking with other Christians. Because sometimes you'd be having a conversation and you get this thought and you're like, where did I get that from? That's really strange. And it's actually the Holy Spirit speaking through that person or through the song or through meditation. And don't confuse the two. There's meditation, like the secular meditation where you just sit there and like let your brain like do its thing or whatever. That's not what we're talking about. Meditation on the word of God and in prayers, it's a whole different thing. It's like you're just maybe repeating a scripture, and that scripture, when it speaks to you through meditation, God speaks back and the Holy Spirit kind of just gives you this idea that you've never thought of before. That's him speaking to you. And if it does not, that thought, if it does not go back to glorifying God, it is definitely not from him. So you got to check where your thoughts are coming from. And you got to check where, if it's glorifying God and glorifying the way he's trying to work on your life, then that's definitely from him. So you just got to checkpoints. There's always checkpoints. Like when you're working out, there's always checkpoints. Mm-hmm. In prayers, there's always checkpoints to like, hey, you know, I'm going to pray for this. But I have to let loose as well. You know, like I always pray for stuff. Right. And then I go, but I'm ready, Lord. If it's not for me and it's not from you, I'm ready to let it go. And you know, we've gone through lately where I'm like, I want this so bad, so bad. But I'm ready to open my hands and let it go. If it's not from, I know. Do you know how much growth
that I've seen?
Just this morning it happened.
I need to make some personal growth like that. I love what I love what you're saying because you did simplify it and you put it in a context that is so very relatable.
Right.
Because when we talk about relationship with the Lord, some will go, what do you mean? Like, right. I don't understand how to have a relationship. But then you really did that comparison to in a marriage, right? Mm-hmm. When you're in a marriage, if we're not talking, if we're not communicating, our marriage isn't going to work.
Or go through troubles without figuring out our troubles. I mean, this is actually why separation happened, divorce happened in the end, and we're not like going there, but I'm just saying it's because we don't go through it. We run from it. Mm. It's the same thing with Christianity. We have to go through troubles with Christ to get to the destination. If we run the other way and say, nah, I'm sorry, I got my salvation card, I'm good to go, I don't need the relationship part, you're going to run into trouble by yourself. Trouble's ahead, trouble's everywhere, it's everyday life. There is no escaping that. But do you want to do it alone? Or do you want to do it with someone that he owns it all, he has it all, he can do it all for you, and it's not that he will make it easier, he will just help you get through it. He will help you get through it. And it's the same thing with relationship and marriage. Like, you and I, we discuss a lot of things. We go through so much together. But if I keep to myself and you keep to yourself, but we're going through the same thing, how idiotic is that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and there are times we don't. There are times when we have a rough patch, and a rough patch comes from a rough day, a difficult moment, or whatever it may be, comes from lack of communication.
Yes.
Sometimes you may be like, I'm tired of telling him about this, or I feel like I don't want to have that conversation, and that can lead to issues. But that's where the communication part comes in. And when we talk about, you talked about the void, we all have some kind of void.
Yeah.
Everyone, no matter who we are, sometimes people think like, if I had all the money in the world, I wouldn't have any problem. Well, yes, you will.
Yeah.
If money can solve one area of your concerns and your thoughts. It doesn't fix everything. How often do we see people who have, quote unquote, all the money in the world or whatever it may be, or seemingly living that life that others on the outside may go, wow, their life looks so great. But then inside they're empty, or inside they're searching, or inside they're missing something. Yeah. And then they may turn to drugs. They may turn to alcohol. Mm-hmm. They may turn to relationships. They may turn to other things to fill that void.
There's always a void.
And we always look for different ways to fill that void.
Yeah.
And for me, that void was never fulfilled until I sought Jesus.
Right.
See, when I entered into a relationship with Christ, which I had thought was unheard of, I had no clue what that meant. And then finally accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior and said, I'm inviting you into my life. I want you to be a part of everything. I don't want you to be someone that I put up on a pedestal, worship, pray to, ask for things, and then come back 7 days later.
Yeah, he's not a genie.
I want you involved in everything. And when you invite him in your heart, and when I did that and started inviting him in and trying to involve him in everything I do, every decision I make, how do I live like him? How do I act like him? How do I think like him? How do I love like him, forgive like him? I suddenly started developing more and more peace.
Yeah.
And that is priceless. We could talk about having anything in the world, right?
Yeah.
But for me, the ultimate is peace. When you have peace, knowing that you have Christ in good times and in bad times, and that's the key. It's not just in the troubled times, it's in the good times. Because in the good times, I think sometimes in the really good times, we're vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because we may think that, oh, look what I did. Look what I accomplished. Look what I made. And that's where the enemy attacks you, is when you're most vulnerable.
Right.
Because now you think you've accomplished, or you've arrived, or you've done something. But when we have that relationship with the Lord, I think it keeps us in check at times, don't you think?
It does. And also, you know what? The thing about the Holy Spirit being in your heart, to me, is like having my best. It's like a built-in best friend, right? Like you just, every time something happens, I just close my eyes, or even while I'm cooking, open my eyes and just talk. I don't even call a prayer. I just talk. I have a conversation. Sometimes we be battling it out. Sometimes we'll be like, why'd you do that? What's happening? What's going on? You know, I'm really stressed out right now. Can you help me out? And I have this like relationship where I can just run to him and just throw everything at his feet and say, can you just help me out? And the cool thing about this is that his promises are yes and amen, you know, and his promises, you have to stand on those promises every day. So even if something doesn't work out, and even if something doesn't go your way, or you're having a horrible day, he has the ability to help you. So run to him for help. If I run to like a friend and complain, what is that going to accomplish? What is that going to help? It's not going to help. And I had this like thing this last week, you know, like doing school with the girls, and we have one of them that's like hard-headed and stubborn.
A little stubborn.
Little
takes after daddy. Know.
Yeah, she's like,
she's yeah, strong. Amazing. Strong-willed. I
she's
like that
very
term.
Strong-willed.
She's very strong. She's determined.
She's determined. She's an incredible young 7-year-old, but she is
7 going on 17 or like 27.
I literally had to tell her last night, I love you, you're amazing, but you struggle with people telling you what to do. And that's where we have to work on that. So I pray about that. So I find myself, if I complain to other people or say something even to you, what is that going to accomplish? Nothing. But I went in prayers and said, like, this is what I have to do. So I have to start the day with prayers and reading the Bible to them. And it just feels like it calms everybody down. And it calms me down. So I can always just remember his promises to me. He gave me that child for a reason, you know. And maybe through her, he's teaching me patience. Because God knows, she is teaching me patience.
She definitely does try.
She tries every single day. And that's just, it's normal. But that's life. You know, you have to always examine the people in your life and why they're there and what they're doing. Because if they're, you know, I mean, how am I going to ever, like, work on my patience? How am I going to ever work on what I want and what I don't want, and delaying satisfaction or delaying what I want by being patient, right? Like, yeah. I have to work on that. I have to work on my own self, and maybe she's there to do that. You never know. You never know why God does stuff. It's just, it's pretty cool. I know we're derailing right now, but
well,
it's just,
no, but
you
it's true. When we go back to the idea of religion, and I say, well, I was a religious person, and I don't really like the term. I don't like religion. I like having a relationship with the Lord.
Right.
How about Jesus and the way he handled the Pharisees, the religious leaders at the time,
right,
who were, in his eyes, he called them out as hypocrites. And I think among a lot of today's world, there are many people who are turned off to religion or Christianity because of what they see and what they grew up in, or a specific denomination, or their background, or maybe how they were taught in school, whether it was a private school or a Sunday school or lessons or what they learned from their parents, and they get turned off by religion for those reasons, from seeing hypocrisy in other believers. But we have to realize we're all sinful people.
Yeah.
So no, you can never look to another Christian and expect perfection, because it's not going to happen. The only one who was perfect was Jesus. So we can't base our faith on the way someone else lives their life. So you can't view your faith through someone else's eyes. Mm-hmm. So it's important for those who look at what they consider like, and I hear this all the time. I hear this in the press box. I hear it in different places. They go, oh, he's comes across as a very religious person, or pretends to be a very, or says, professes to be a very religious person, but how can he say this, or how can he do that? And then I try and remind people when they say that is, well, none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect, so we can't expect someone to be perfect just because they are a Christian. We all are sinful people, whether you're a believer or a non-believer. We're all our own innate selfishness. We're all sinful people.
Yeah.
I would hope that coming to Christ and coming to the realization that he's the one and he's the Savior for us will help us be more and more like him. But you should never view Christianity through the way you see someone else living their faith out.
You know, again, I'm going to simplify it for you. If I have 10 kids, right? If I have 10 kids and I already, like, I give birth to them, they are my children. Nobody can disqualify that or take that away from me. They are my children because I give birth to them. They are mine. everything's cool. Like, they are definitely my kids.
You only got two, though. Why'd you throw out 10?
I'm just saying, if I have 10 of them, one is kind of,
I mean, I tried to get to 3 or 4, and you shut it down.
Lord knows, two is plenty right now. Mm-hmm.
Still not too late.
No, but
anytime.
But every time they make a mistake, I don't disqualify them
really
for being...
I'm really derailing the conversation.
Right.
Go ahead.
What is happening? Every time I my child makes a mistake, I cannot say, you're not my child anymore because you made a mistake. Yes. They are my children. And mm-hmm. the other children cannot look at that child and say, that's it. You're no longer his child. It cannot happen because that blood of Jesus mm-hmm. It's been done. You're qualified now. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The blood of Jesus on a cross bought us all. We're good. So you cannot disqualify me from that. But my mistakes will not disqualify me from the love of Christ. And that's where we need to just not make that mistake again, not judge others.
Yeah. Well, we all do it. We all do it.
But we all do it. I'm just saying.
Yeah. And unfortunately, sometimes we get caught up in it. Others get caught up in it. But ultimately, we shouldn't look at Christianity through the view of someone else's life, the way they live it, the way they do it, the way they go through life. It's our own personal walk. It's our mm-hmm. own personal relationship. And my journey and my walk is different than yours. And yeah. it's different than LaDainian Tomlinson. And you're going to hear Hall of Famer LaDainian Tomlinson explain his coming up next. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show with Rob and Remy Mahdi.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's dairy stores now operate 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest. Coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.
This is Emmett Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. Rob Mahdi with Remy. If you are tuning in for the first time on radio, you can go to faithonthefieldshow.com and find every show since we launched in 2017. We've had an awesome lineup of guests over the years. You can listen to any show anytime at your convenience. You could select them by topic. You can select them by guest, whatever you would like to do. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field. If you want to sign up for our weekly email list right there on our website, we'll send you our episodes right to your inbox each week. We'd love to read your messages, so certainly please keep on sending those along. Make sure you also follow us on all social media platforms. I'm at Rob Mahdi on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, at Real Rob Mahdi on Instagram, and Remy is at Remy Mahdi. We'll let you know about speaking appearances and other events that we're involved in or we're hosting. You can go to my YouTube channel and listen to some of my recent messages also as well. Our guest this week is Pro Football Hall of Famer LaDainian Tomlinson. LT played 11 seasons in the NFL, the first 9 with the Chargers, who were in San Diego at the time, the final 2 with the New York Jets. He retired after the 2011 season. LaDainian went to 5 Pro Bowls. He was a 3-time All-Pro. In 2006, he was the NFL MVP. He set a single-season record with 31 touchdowns, 28 rushing, 3 receiving. The 28 were also a record. LaDainian is 6th on the all-time rushing list with 13,684 yards. He's 2nd all-time with 145 touchdowns. He was elected into the Hall of Fame in 2017. He gave a passionate speech on unity. We talked about that, social justice issues, his faith, and much more. Here's my conversation with LaDainian Tomlinson.
LaDainian, I mentioned that incredible Hall of Fame speech you gave. You said it was something you were really proud of, man. I could point to so many statements that you made in there that resonated with a lot of people. I'm going to tell you one of my favorites. You said, I've had a very personal relationship with God. Now, me, I always talk about faith being a relationship with Christ, not just a religion. Can you describe that personal relationship that you refer to in your speech? Because sometimes people don't understand when we talk about relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, I think, first off, I believe in the spirit person. You know, it's that spirit that lives inside of us. That's God. You know, that's God's spirit. And so I think religion to me is a practice. You know, like people, they practice religion. They might not necessarily, you know, have the spirit, you know, have God's spirit and led by the spirit, but they have their religion. It's their practice. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, they're going to church. And that's okay, you know, but in order to become the best that you can absolutely be and be who God wants you to be, you got to tap inside that spirit person, that God that's inside of you, you know, and it's a personal walk. I can't tell you what your relationship is going to be like with God. You have to spend the time. You have to spend the time talking to him and meditating and praying, you know, about what he wants for your life. And so the reason why I say that is at the age of 14, there was a prophecy on my life. And it said, God will take you places you never imagined if you trust him and you gave him the credit at every step of the way. And I promise you, if that hasn't been the truth, I'm a kid from a small country town. No one ever made it to the National Football League. No one ever made it to the Hall of Fame or anything. So that belief in God, I had to have a personal relationship because I believe when he told me that, and every step of the way, he has taken me places I never imagined. And I have continued to say it's because of God. It's because of him that lives inside of me that I was able to do all these things.
You spoke passionately about unity. It seems like, man, that seems like it's a simple concept that everyone should want equality for all. Why do you think it's taking us so long to get there?
Well, there are a lot of factors that, you know, that go into the fact that we just haven't been able to be equal, plain and simple. And you know, we talk about systematic things that, you know, from the economic spectrum to, you know, the housing spectrum, you know, the equality thing has never been there from the beginning. You know, and yes, there's been policies put in place to help, obviously, people of color, but there's still so many more things that we are missing. And, you know, that's why we always talk about that activism, it's a lifelong fight because, you know, just like the game of football, you try to get first downs most of the time to keep the ball and keep matriculating the ball down the field. You try to get first downs, to use a football metaphor or analogy, I should say. It's the same way with if things have been a certain way for 400 years, there's no way that they can just change overnight. And so there are little things that we have to do along the way to help push that ball more closer to equality. And so, you know, there's no question about it. We have come a long way. This is not 400 years ago. This is not 300 years ago. But there are certainly things that we see now that there's still a fight that we want to do better as a country. And it's going to take everyone unifying on the same front and doing whatever we can to change legislation. That's where it's going to start at.
Awareness has been raised. Players across all the sports leagues, they're doing a great job leading that fight for social justice. You talk about the legislation. What do you think the players, the athletes can do beyond protest to move things forward, like a call to action?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the athletes have a lot of power, as we're seeing. You know, they have a lot of influence, especially in their own communities. that they come from. They have the biggest microphone in their communities. So create dialogue with their local elected officials, mayors, district attorneys. You know, these athletes, our athletes can call on these people in their towns to have, you know, better communication between, you know, obviously the neighborhood and elected officials, police unions, and, you know, police districts all over the country. I think that relationship can be better. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's just about communication and training at the end of the day. You know, so I think if athletes continue to speak up about certain things that are going on in their community, but then they take that speaking up, as I mentioned, to town hall meetings, you know, and also to try to push more legislation in their own local communities first. You know, a lot of times, to be honest with you, we don't understand locally how, you know, our officials are set up, how we elect our officials in our own local towns. We don't understand the structure of how that works. And so that's where a lot of things are passed at the local level first before it can become state level, and then obviously at a national level.
We know how important it is for players to use the platform that they have to try to effectuate positive change, but not everybody sees that viewpoint, LaDainian. What do you say to the shut up and play crowd?
Well, you know, I honestly don't know if there's anything you can say to certain people that believe what they believe. You know, but you just got to keep trying to educate people on the fact that this is the reason why we're doing this. This is what this is about. You keep on pushing that message of positive change and unifying one another and being all in together. You keep on pushing that message. But at the end of the day, you know, certain people are going to feel the way they're going to feel. You know, and that's okay. You know, that's what makes, you know, America great. But at the same time, I think most people want equality. Most people want things to be fair. And so I think eventually, I've thought about this. I think sometimes it takes, you know, someone of your same color, meaning another Caucasian person, to have that dialogue and call out someone of the same, you know, color, right?
Yes.
You know, you have to do that sometimes. Say, listen, you know, I'm a Caucasian person just like you. This is not right. We know it's not right. And then sometimes that does changes people's ideas. So maybe that could work.
I agree, man. It comes better from someone like me pulling, you know, having that conversation. And I think it's incumbent upon people like me to have those conversations with others who aren't seeing the same viewpoint and educating them and saying, like, why does it bother you so much? Like, what is the problem here? What are you not understanding? Man, I've had those difficult conversations. And they're
it's difficult.
It's not easy. It's not easy. And sometimes people, you know, you might lose relationships over it. You might lose friendships over it. But at the end of the day, it's about really trying to bring a positive change to the world. How cool is it to have that platform with Aeneas and the NFL Legends podcast? Because, you know, it's in your case, in his case, two guys who put on that gold jacket, sitting there and just having that conversation and being able to chat like that and a platform like he has.
That's the coolest thing, because it keeps us connected. It keeps us, you know, with one mindset, with the same synergy of what we should be doing at this time. You know, even though we're retired and we don't play no more, and maybe the spotlight is not always on us, you know, it's great for us to still have a voice that people want to listen to. People want to hear from the legends, the guys that made this game, that, you know, made the game what it is today. And so I think anytime you can get guys that have impacted their communities, the football field, and this nation as a whole, you know, it's great to have that dialogue. But more importantly, I believe it's great. It's a great outlet for guys that are not Hall of Fame guys, you know, guys that played in the leagues 8, 9, 10 years, but maybe not at that level to be a Hall of Famer. Even having that opportunity to talk to Aeneas Williams, that is something that, you know, it energizes guys. Because how many times do we hear when guys leave a game, they're lost. They don't have, you know, nothing to really motivate them anymore to get out of bed. And they just feel like, you know, the world has forgotten about them. Well, they have a story too. You know, we all have a story, and it's good that they can tell their story on that platform.
You've received so many awards, accolades, accomplishments, Hall of Fame. You also were Walter Payton Man of the Year. Where does that rank for you? Because it is such a special honor. It's not about what you do on the field or what you did on the field. It's about community. It's about everything you do off to be the best person you can be.
Well, it's the highest award. It's right up there next to all, you know, things like the MVP and the Hall of Fame bust. In fact, in my house, it sits way up with the bust. It's next to the bust because to me, that's how important it is and was during my playing career. Simply because, you know, I've always had a deep, deep love for my own community, you know, where I came from. I don't know. I was the heartbeat of my own community, I felt. Those kids there looked up to me, and I wanted to inspire them like someone inspired me. So I always felt like I was doing it for them. And so early on, I started to go back. When I played, I started going back and giving back in my community. And honestly, it started, that passion started in college. You know, and it just kind of evolved, man. When I got to the National Football League in San Diego, being in the locker room with the great Junior Seau, you know, it changed my life because I saw a man that was, you know, obviously talented on the football field. He can do everything, but how generous he was with his time in the community, you know, how he was such a role model to so many kids in the community. He spent as much time in the community as he did at the football field or at the complex. And so having someone like that to give me an example, it just further, you know, kind of, it further, you know, energized my passions inside to do more in my own community.
You mentioned the Chargers. How weird is it to see Philip Rivers wearing a different uniform, man, on the Colts? It's certainly with him, with Tom Brady, it fits. It fits 2020, right? It's been a strange year for everybody, but.
You know, the other day I was just looking at, and I'm looking, I said, man, that horseshoe on the side of Phillip's helmet, it looks weird, you know? But the same movement, the mechanics that I've seen for so long, the throwing motion, it's Phillip. You know, it's him, but it's going to take a little while to get used to him being in that uniform, as well as Tom Brady, you know, just seeing him and Gronk, you know, down in Tampa now, talking to Bruce Arians, you know, that's kind of weird.
LaDainian, before I let you go, which NFL running backs do you enjoy watching the most? Is there anybody that reminds you a little bit of the way you played the game?
Well, I think a couple of guys do. So I like, obviously, Christian McCaffrey has been, you know, he's been amazing. The ability to, to do as much as he does, meaning he plays over 95% of the snaps. When you think about that, that's an insane number for a running back. That means he rarely comes off the field. So for him to be able to keep up that type of workload and then to be able to do everything that he does, it's pretty amazing to watch. Saquon Barkley is another guy that I like to watch. I think those two probably remind me of myself the most because Saquon has the lateral movement, you know, to be able to hop from one hole to the next, that low center of gravity. And then obviously Christian being versatile, you know, being able to run routes out the backfield and all those things. So those two guys I probably enjoy the most.
I'll give you another guy who I see it, I think, sometimes because I'm in Philly, so I see him on a daily basis, Miles Sanders. Young guy, he kind of reminds me. I mean, obviously, he's got a long way to go to fill your kind of shoes, but have you paid attention to him at all?
I have, absolutely. Miles had a terrific year last year. And, you know, the question is, will Doug give him the ball? You know, because, man, he shows so much talent last year that I really think he can be the centerpiece of that offense and really help Carson Wentz out. I absolutely agree with you. I hope that he gets the opportunity to be the guy. You know, give him the rock. Let's see how good he can really be, because I think he has greatness in him.
LaDainian, man, I really appreciate your time. I enjoyed the conversation. Thank you for sharing.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
That was LaDainian Tomlinson. Love that conversation. We'll talk about it next. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show with Rob and Remy Mahdi.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc. is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have two daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. I'm Rob Mahdi with Remy. I want to take a minute to thank all of our wonderful sponsors. Please check them out on our website, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Brenda Lee Utzler Associates, and Cairn University. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show, please reach out to us at team@faithonthefieldshow.com. If you want to help us with our ministry, we now have a donate button on our page on faithonthefieldshow.com. We just heard LaDainian Tomlinson talk about the Spirit living inside of him and a prophecy on his life when he was 14 years old, and how the personal relationship with the Lord has been there with him along the way, and how he always has given God the glory through everything, mm-hmm. from being in the NFL to eventually making it to the Hall of Fame, and where he is and his journey and how he got there. You got to go back actually and hear his Hall of Fame speech. It is, it's an incredible speech. Yeah. I know I played parts of it for you one time, but the whole thing is really awesome. And I encourage everybody out there, go to YouTube, look up LaDainian Tomlinson's Hall of Fame speech. It's so passionate about unity. And he talks about his faith in there and the elements of it. But I know you like to, you often tell me and talk about prophecies.
Mm-hmm. So this is definitely in the Bible. This is not something that's like out of the blue, or people mm-hmm. think it's like, oh, what's prophecy? Like, it's not for this day or age or whatever. It is for today. In fact, 1 Corinthians 14, Paul encourages everyone to pursue the gift of prophecy. So this is not just for specific people or just for one person or whatnot. It's for everybody.
Pastors, not just for clergy, not just, it's for believers.
It's for believers. And it's meant to encourage and strengthen believers. It's not meant to, like, if somebody comes at you with a word of knowledge or a prophecy and goes, oh, you got to be careful because, like, it's doom day and blah, 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 and it's, like, really sad and weird and doomy. Mm-hmm. You should probably just say, oh, okay, that's cool, I hear you. But just kind of walk away. And I'm not saying prophecy is all positive and gray and whatever, but it's meant to encourage believers. It's meant to be as a revelation from God to people. So sometimes you'd be talking to someone, mm-hmm. like a friend or something, and you get this like weird sense of you have to tell them this thing, right? Like it's just something dropped into your spirit, and God is saying to you, like, call this person, or something is saying, like, reach out to this person and say, like, keep going. God is saying to keep going. And then you reach out to your friend and say, for some reason, I meant to just, I don't know, I wanted to call you and say, God is saying, just keep going. Don't give up today. And then the next thing you hear from them is like, whoa, I really needed to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, this happens to a lot to me. I'll be just reaching out to my friends via text and say, for some reason, I'm thinking of you. And in my spirit, I'm just trying to tell you that God is saying today, just keep going. Don't give up today. Whatever it is, just don't give up. Try one more time. And then they would text me back saying, whoa, I really needed this word today. I really needed that today. And that's in essence, that's a prophecy, because you strengthen that person. It's meant to encourage others. It's meant to help others to keep going. And some people more than others are really good at this because they're really fine-tuned the way of how they hear from God. So some people are like really, really good at prophecy. Like they will give you word of knowledge and they give you prophecies. And you and I have heard a lot of prophecies over our lives. Like, I mean, I've heard a couple over my life. And,
Some have come true.
Some have, yes.
And then sometimes if they don't come true in that moment, or if they don't come true in that season, it doesn't mean forget about it.
Oh, no. I hold firm to those.
Yeah.
I really do. And actually, they're meant for you to revisit. You just keep looking at them and keep, because those are promises from God. You know what I mean? Like this, if you trust that person, and you've prayed over that promise, like sometimes people give you a prophecy, you're supposed to take it to God and say, is this true over my life? Is this what you really want over my life? And he would tell you if this is really true or not. And he would tell you if it's from him or not, but you would know, you will know in your spirit if this is really over, like you would know, you would get a sense of like, yeah, this really aligns with what God wants to do in my life. And you should pray about it, and you should just, you know, maybe seek other people's opinion about it, like as a pastor or whatnot, and just talk to them about it. And then if it's that huge, for him, that was a really cool prophecy over his life. It was pretty awesome.
And he didn't go into great detail about,
I'm sure there was more to that. Yeah.
Who said what to him at the age of 14, who it was who spoke the prophecy over his life. But to have someone speak that over your life at that age, coming from where, like he said, nobody's in my,
right. You know,
from a small country town, nobody's ever made it to the NFL, let alone been a Hall of Famer. And if you just keep going forward, if you keep pursuing, and if you give God the glory all throughout, he will take you to heights that you could have never imagined.
Yeah.
And we talk about that a lot, because sometimes I find myself living in the moment and trying to get through the work that I need to do day in and day out.
Yeah.
Day in and day out, I got a ton of work and a lot of projects, and I want to go from one to the next to the other and be finished.
Mm-hmm.
And you're more of the dreamer, and you're more of God is going to take you to newer heights and bigger platforms and different things. And I don't often sit there and dwell on it or think about it to the point where I need you to remind me.
But see, that's God's promise to everybody, not just you and me, and not just
it's truth. It's not.
This is not reserved for like one person on earth. This is for everybody.
Preach, baby.
This is what God wants for His children.
Yep.
To take us to platforms and heights and places we've never dreamed of or imagined. That's His word to us. That's His promise to us. It's up to us to cling to that promise. It's up to us to continue to just say, take me, whatever you want to take me, take me. I am ready. I am going to go. I am not going to be complacent. I want to reach heights that I've never dreamed of, so I can shout it from the rooftops that you took me there, that this was all your work. Just like he was saying, as long as you take me with you and tell people that I got you there and this was not just your own work,
your own doing,
he's willing to take you to great great heights. And it's up to you to be willing to do that and not just be complacent in your walk. He doesn't want us to just go to church on Sunday and come back and just be like, okay, great. See you next Sunday. No, he wants us to do things that are incredible and amazing. I mean, think of you as an influencer for God. What are you doing every day to be an influencer for God? You know, we're willing to, I do a lot of influencer work on Instagram.
Speaking of which, I wish I can get some credit for photography every time I have to post for take a picture that you got to post the product.
But it's the same thing.
But keep them coming.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's the same thing. Like, but am I glorifying God the entire time? Am I using my platform to be the Christ ambassador that I want to be? So
I love that you put that on your social, like Christ ambassador.
Yeah,
what am I doing? What am I
living
for? I am an ambassador for Christ.
Yeah.
But you're right.
That's actually a verse. I need to look it up. It's a verse. You're called to be Christ ambassadors.
Mm-hmm. It's cool though, because you're right. As you're giving the glory to God, as we have to always be careful not to take all the credit ourselves. Because how easy is it to be like, oh, look what I did. Look what I accomplished. Look how far I've come. I can't believe that I got there. And no, we're there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Every point of our lives, there's a purpose to it. And we should never forget our purpose. And sometimes we lose sight of our purpose. And sometimes we get busy. And sometimes we forget. But I love how you said it's not just for me or you. The taking to new heights. It's for everyone out there. Everyone out there can be, God can take all of us to heights we've never imagined.
Yeah.
We have to believe in it. Believe that he can do it. Have confidence that he can do it. Trust in him. Walk closely with him and surrender to him. Submit to him. And he will show you those heights. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. It may not be on your time, but it will get there. You will get there.
And this is why we are all called to prophesy, because prophecy gives hope. And we all lose sight of that walk, but we need each other to keep each other going and to keep that hope going and to keep that encouragement going. That's the whole idea of prophecy. And that's why he wants us to prophesy to one another. And it's not just reserved to just one person or one preacher. It's for everybody.
I know we could talk a lot about prophecy, and that's something that we'll touch on. And maybe at some point we'll share some prophecies over that have been spoken over our lives that have come true. But that's going to be it for this week. Big thanks to LaDainian Tomlinson for being our guest this week. Doug Horton, thank you for all the great work he does handling our business. Thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for the excellent work he does with our website and all of our podcasts. Thank you to 97.5 The Fanatic Philadelphia, 107.5 Alive, and 97.9 ESPN Tallahassee for airing Faith on the Field show. For Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.